What is narcissism? How do you spot it? And where do you fall on the narcissism scale? All of that and more right here. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey.
Wow.
Hey.
Wow. Wow.
Hey.
That, it just gets me every time.
Every time. I mean, if this chair wasn't in the way, we could really make it happen.
It never gets old. Welcome, you guys. This is the Red Table Talk After Show. I am just one of your hosts, Tyler Simone. And to my left, I have the one, the only.
The Tyler Tyson. What's up, y'all? What's up, Black Hollywood Live, Red Table Talk family? What's going on?
Yes, here we are again.
Here we are again.
Yes. How's your Monday?
My Monday was great.
Good.
I feel like this show is like the perfect fit for my Monday. My Mondays are usually stress-free. This show, for the most part, is stress-free, and it just gives you a whole hour to just talk about whatever. So I love Mondays.
Good. This was a good episode.
Absolutely.
One of my favorites to date, which is hard to say because there's been a lot of good ones.
There's been a lot. I don't know if it's my fave. It might be.
Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because we were talking before we started, and you said it's not too heavy. We can enjoy it. We can learn, but it's still good. It keeps you intrigued.
It was the perfect mix of like a little deepness, but then not too deep that you go into tears and depression, but it's still not a throwaway episode. Like, it's perfect.
Yes, I agree. So this episode is all about narcissism. We had Dr. Ramani on the panel, which was amazing. She was great.
Yeah.
I learned a lot from her. She's so passionate when she speaks that I was all in the whole time.
Same.
Yeah. So before they even sat down at the red table, Jada said that she feels she might have some narcissistic traits. I was like, okay, all right. But that's me thinking that narcissism is believing that everything is about you and the world revolves around everything, you know, having to do with you. What did you think narcissism was before the episode started?
So, I mean, obviously, I still kind of think the bulk of it is, but I didn't think it was as deep as it goes. Like most people just thought it was about if you're just so self-absorbed and everything is about you, you have to make every story about you. You use the word I more than you use we and us and like anything collective. That was pretty much my scope of what narcissism was.
Same here. I felt like it was just someone who was really self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's deeper than that. Let's talk a little bit about the characteristics. So one, they have no empathy towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that comes from them feeling like it's all about them. To the point where they don't even hear or see anyone else and anyone else's struggles.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes.
It's hard not to be empathetic. I feel a little too empathetic.
I know I struggle. I'm definitely on your side. I'm a little too empathetic at times. I know so many narcissistic people. But I don't think, you know, there's degrees to everything. So I think that even with the people that I know that are narcissistic, they might not be an extreme version to the point where they don't have empathy. Most people I know, they have empathy.
Yeah.
Like, there might be one or two that I came to realize at some point, oh, you really don't have much empathy.
Yeah.
They have one of those versions that I'm sure you'll talk about where it was like, they have empathy, but only so that the camera is on them and it's still focused on the point that they're caring about something.
Which is so scary. That's scary.
Yeah.
How does your mind go there? It seems like it's just a lot of energy. That's just putting out it's too much work.
People just be normal?
Why?
Like, why do we have to be on either side? Like, why do you have to be on the side where you're insecure and you have self-esteem issues, or you're a narcissist? Why can't you just be in the middle?
Right. I don't know, honestly. You're asking the wrong person.
But I will say, what Jada talked about, like, being in entertainment, and she was like, you know, to some degree, if you're in entertainment, you are a narcissist, or you have narcissistic traits if you're in this industry. And that part, I think, is true. But I also, the counter to that is, I think, as I said, that there are degrees, but I also think that there are some of us, I'm one of these people, that I have a hard time talking about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like Willow in the sense that I would much rather talk about you than talk about me. I'm an interviewer. I like to interview, learn from you. Same. Like, what can I learn to fix whatever's going on over here? I'm not one of those people that's just going to sit,
That
annoys the living.
It's annoying.
That is a conversation ender. Like, I will end the conversation if you start doing that. I will just walk away.
Right.
I can't.
It's you either walk away or you zone out because they're talking your ear off and you don't know how to get out. Don't you hate when you can't get out of a conversation?
I hate when I zone out. I will zone out in a heartbeat. So I hate, and that will make me zone out.
Yes.
Because my attention will just, there's something else.
And the crazy part is you would think that people would see your the way your face changes, that you're not into the conversation, but they just keep
going. So into themselves that they have no idea that you have checked out of this conversation.
That's wild.
Yes.
That's not good. Okay. So besides that, they're very entitled. They're arrogant. They seek validation, which when she was rambling off of all of these characteristics, multiple people were popping up in my head.
Of course. Same.
Most of the
same. However, I will say, not to pick on my friend to my right, but I just knew when she was rattling off these definitions, I was like, oh, Tyler is stopping and pausing and rewinding because she is writing down all of this.
I got them all. Y'all,
there
are
three pages over here. So I knew, listen, I know my people. I know my
people.
You
knew it.
I knew it.
You know me so well.
And of course, I'm going to copy and take a picture. So.
I had to. There's just so much to learn.
Yeah.
Okay, so she also said that this is a clinical mental illness, which blew me away. I didn't know that it was that serious. Mm-hmm. Like you said, didn't know it was that deep. But as far as being diagnosed for it, I'm wondering if that's something you don't go to a doctor for it, or is that like a self-diagnosis?
I mean, I guess technically you would. Maybe if you go to therapy just for something else and then in your therapy session that may come out, and then it's like, oh, you need to work on this. But I don't think anyone, because a narcissist, I don't think even knows that they're narcissistic.
Right.
They don't even know that there's a problem that needs to be tended to. I have some people that I know. I'm trying to not put other people's business in the street. So I'm going to try to blur the lines a little bit, but I know some people that really struggle with keeping friends, really struggle with maintaining healthy relationships with friends because they turn every situation about them. They never want to come to your place. They want everyone to come to their place. Anytime there's a conversation, it's always about I. They want to use you to gain more Instagram followers, get access to this party, have access to this celebrity, fill in the blank. But it still all comes back to them. Like, they really honestly can't do their job to the best of their ability because they're focused more so on themselves than on their clients.
Yeah.
But once again, some of these people will never know that they even have this issue.
Yeah.
Because they still manage, they have a rotation of friends. So it's like they can't keep, like if you and I were friends, you know, it's not going to be a 20-year friendship. It might be 5 to 10 years, but then you're going to exit, somebody else is going to enter.
Yeah.
And so there's always this cycle of friends coming and going. They, of course, aren't homeless or anything, so they're able to feed themselves and make a great life. So they're just not seeing the issue.
Yeah.
Like usually if you hit rock bottom and then you're like, oh, well, what's wrong? But if everything's great, how do you even know that there's an issue?
And then how do people bring it up to you?
They don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
You don't. And they don't seem to be receptive to you trying to point these things out to them. Because once again, it's all about them. They don't do anything wrong. You can't argue with these people, which is why it's so hard to even bring it up and say, hey, you know, you're a little bit of a narcissist.
You're a little bit.
Bit. Yeah. So that seems really, really hard. She did say that at the core, because I don't know how the people that you feel might be narcissists, on the outside, are they really confident? Are they entertaining? Because she said that that's something that happens.
So there are three people that came to mind immediately. And they're all different.
Yeah.
One is a serious extreme that plays more of one of the more dangerous versions of narcissism that I'm sure you'll address.
Yeah.
And it's the one where they come across super confident.
Mm-hmm.
They love to be the center of attention. If they do go out of their way to do something, there has to be a camera crew involved. Like, everything is for the gram. Everything is for likes and follows. And on the face of it, everyone thinks that they're just the nicest, sweetest person in the world.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hurt the fact that they are extremely attractive to most. Most people would find this individual extremely attractive. But the flip side of all of that is there's really no compassion. Unless you are part of the ongoing circus that is feeding their narcissism, once you aren't in that, you're now the enemy. Mm. And so now everything is turned against you and they try to make your life a living hell. So that's one of them.
That's the worst.
The other ones are not as extreme.
Okay.
The other ones, yeah, they like to be the center of attention. Yes, you know, they like to be the connector that mm-hmm. makes all the parts flow and work. But at the same time, they're still compassionate. They're still nice. They're still all of those great things. The one that I was explaining about not even knowing, mm-hmm. that individual is more so on the other side also, where that individual is also extremely nice and it's not coming from a malicious state at all. So it's just like 3 degrees. Like, they're all just different.
Yeah. And there's a couple of different.
Who almost gave it away? At the end, I almost gave out like just too many specific details. Yeah. I had to catch myself.
Good job. Whew. Yes, there are definitely multiple types of narcissists, like we learned. But what's confusing to me is, how do you distinguish a narcissist from someone who's just attention seeking? Because there are people on Instagram who do things for likes. With women, they pose mostly nude.
Guys too.
And guys, I mean, you're right. Come on. Guys too, for sure.
I've taken my shirt off of the ground.
You've taken your shirt off quite a few times.
Wait a minute.
But you're not a I don't feel like
it's not. No, I'm not a narcissist at all.
But yeah. You, yes, I don't believe that you are a narcissist. But there are people, you can just tell, you can feel it. It's very consistent, and they just reek of attention seeking. But what's the difference between that and then being a narcissist? Because someone who wants attention on Instagram may also still be empathetic. They may still be, you know, a good listener.
So for the most part, I think most of the time, and I look at social media as not real.
Yeah.
A lot of people look at social media as it is the Bible. Like, if you post it on social media, it really happened exactly how it looks and all of that. Where I really wish people would see and treat social media like you do a TV show. It's just another platform to watch content. It's content that is created.
Yes.
Please understand. I mean, look at what you do for your own social media. None of us post a picture without making sure things don't look right. Sometimes you add a filter. Sometimes you do it even a little breeze over with Photoshop or something. We make sure our videos look a certain way. Make sure what's in the background of this video. Like, everything is super produced. On Instagram.
Yeah.
So nobody should take it as
Bible, yeah. Like you said.
But I kind of lost my thought.
It's
where
okay.
I was going with
you were
that.
Just saying, like, as far as people's view of other people on social media and the fact that it's not always real.
Yeah.
It's definitely not. So as far as you mentioned the levels of narcissism, I feel like most people are, because there's some that are very dark, she said. They go unseen. You wouldn't even know they're a narcissist until you're too deep in. But I feel like most people are classical narcissists. They make you look good on the inside. Very Ooh. Charming. Very entertaining.
I always think behind every narcissist is a very, very insecure person.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
I agree.
The one thing I can say about those three individuals, the one that was more malicious definitely has a more severe insecurity. But the other two, they have their insecurities also.
Yeah.
But it's just not as extreme as that other one. But behind every narcissist, because the reason they are so narcissistic is because they're trying to put up a front to hide the fact that they are so broken and so jacked up on the inside. I'm going to say it. It's a little controversial, but I venture to say also, y'all aren't going to like this. But just like the narcissist tries to cover themselves up, some, not all, but some of the people that you really see that just go ham in the church, I mean, like, they shout like there's no tomorrow. Those are usually the people, and there's one gospel artist that I'm not going to call out. Those are usually the people that are the most jacked up. They are the most evil, the most wicked. They actually cause the most harm. So it's like, of course you're praising God so hard, because if we really knew the type of person you were, you wouldn't have this life. So I just liken that unto the narcissist.
Yeah. And it makes sense for everything now that I think about it. It makes sense for really, I mean, people can be attractive, but you know those people that just go out of their way to be seen, and they put on this, there's like a, mostly in LA, I don't know about everywhere else, because this is where
it's
I live.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
But LA for sure, you see those people that go out of their way to be seen, they want to look perfect all the time, but those are often the most boring people. They don't have, they're hiding something. They're not always what they seem.
There is a famous family that we just talked about before we went on the air. And that entire family, I think, is extremely insecure. They ride on their looks. I mean, the way that they built all of their empires, both collectively and individually, was all based on looks and tapes and things where they were doing sexual. It was all based. It's nothing up here. Yeah. Like, that was not why the public was drawn to them at all.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true.
I mean, this is just the culture, and I think they talked about it on the show, this is the culture that we live in. We live in a narcissistic culture where people have a gazillion selfies on their page. Like, why? Yeah. We have a reality star as a president. Why? We have a reality star that's skipping law school to free people from prison and all. What? Okay. Like, but it's still a reality based society. Like, we just, that's just how we are, and that's where we are right now. And it sucks.
It does suck. It really does. But there are warning signs. She mentioned these warning signs, and when she said it, I felt like these were, they were too far down the line. Because she said you'd want to record conversations, you'd be trying to explain yourself. Before we get to that point, are you sipping tea?
It's not tea at all. But she was preaching to the choir, because I realized that, oh God, I used to do that.
I used to do it too until I learned, because there are warning signs before you get to that point. Obviously, like, if they are showering you with too much love. Like she said, things are happening way too fast. Mm-hmm. Now they're trying to get engaged. Like, that is a red flag.
Yeah.
100%. So when she said it, I said, oh, well, there are a few before those.
What got me was when she said that they always try to make you sound crazy.
Oh, yes.
They do what the guy in the White House does. They make you say what you heard you did not hear.
Yeah.
Even though they said it, I didn't say that. They make it seem like your memory is just shot to hell.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, okay, well, I'm going to record these conversations so that I know I'm not crazy. And then when you record it, they still talk their way out of it.
Somehow. Oh, that's scary. Oh, yes. That's a scary trait to have. Jesus. Okay, so who becomes a narcissist? Because narcissists are not born narcissists. It's kind of like racism. Like, nobody is born a racist. You just learn it over time. Mm-hmm. And I love that they talked about this. So basically, like she said, you become a narcissist if your parents are narcissistic. And then if you got everything that you wanted when you were little, there's a good chance you might be a narcissist.
Hold on.
Hey!
Hold on. Because I was the only child.
Oh.
So I did get everything I want. There's only one. Wait, hold on. There's one.
I'm scared.
There's only one thing I didn't get. I didn't get a dog. But other than that, I got, you name it, I got it with no problem.
No wonder you want a dog so bad.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I still say with it, you can still get the things that you want, or everything that, however you just said it.
Yeah.
But it's up to the parent to still instill in that person that you have to work for everything. Nobody's just going to hand you things.
Absolutely.
And you know, my parents even said, yeah, we spoiled you, but you're not a spoiled brat. There's a difference.
Definitely.
And so, but I do think that if you are just giving, and this child then has this self-entitlement and all of that, then yes, it does breed
a narcissist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And like they said, if you got everything you want but didn't get any emotional substance as well, that's when I think there's a problem. If you got both, then sure, I feel like you turn out just fine. But if you're not learning about what it is to be a good person and learning compassion and all that stuff, then it's not a good sign. It's really not. Okay, so who falls in love with these people? Have you ever fallen in love with a narcissist? You have?
I think I low-key am attracted to narcissists.
Oh, no.
So I have a nice, not lengthy, but I have a nice record of quite a few narcissist in my repertoire.
Oh,
yeah.
I've fallen in love with narcissists as well.
What's your sign?
Gemini.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, y'all zodiac people can look this up. I think Gemini and Capricorn supposedly are supposed to be pretty similar in certain areas. Maybe our thinking, I don't know what it is, but I think we're supposed to be similar in so many ways. So I guess we're like,
maybe,
I guess, cause I just know that there are four that are narcissists. And one of which is kind of, one of those examples that they said, where it was like, you know, extremely attractive and went through all of these different things and has just accepted the fact that the way you're judged is based off of how you look. And so that's how they get through life.
Ooh.
And it just turns into a whole show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe I was attracted to a narcissist when I was younger. This was years and years ago. And I learned my lesson, and now I've never participated. I can't. I cannot participate in narcissism with a narcissist.
So when you learn your lesson, are you one of those people where you only have to learn it once and then you never make
it? Yes.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
I'm scared for you.
At least I'm much better now. But when I was younger, absolutely. And I fell into the trap. I mean, those narcissists were not the same.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those characteristic traits were the same. So I apparently didn't learn my lesson four times, though.
Yeah. Once I started to see the patterns, and it scared me a little because I'm not used to it. I've never been treated that way before. The love, I think they call it love bombing in this episode, but the love bombing was overwhelming to me. And then the controlling part, that was it made me feel uncomfortable. Yeah. So I think that that's how I learned my lesson. But
I wonder what Willow's sign is too, but because everything that she was saying in this episode, I'm like, oh, wow, me too, me too. Like, I am such a pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy. Like, this is the reason why I think I kind of feed into it, is because I don't like the attention to be on me. I don't like, once this camera goes off, please, I don't, attention is definitely not what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So it's easy for me to deflect. And so if you come into the picture and you are Miss Narcissist and you're just talking about, I just feed into it. Oh, really? That's why. Oh, okay. Well, what happened next? Oh, really? So what are you going to do about this? Oh, okay, cool. And you told me you had a bad day. So now I'm showering you with things. And now all of these things are happening. I just feed into it. It's easy for me to feed into it until I get so deep in it. And then I'm like, oh, you're crazy. I need to get out of this.
Oh my, I have that too. I definitely like to
Oh, okay. They said what? This for HTHTV3 said, no, Gemini and Capricorn is a, what is that? Quinicus? I don't know how you say that. They said, no way, we're like 150 degrees apart. So, no, we're not.
Okay, compatible. So we're not the same. No. We're not.
Thanks for that.
Thank you for that. We didn't know that. But I have the same thing as you. I listen to people. I'm a very good listener. I do give a lot of energy. But unlike you and going in deeper, once I feel like I'm not getting the energy back, it's like abort mission. Like I
abort, abort, abort. Yeah,
abort. Because I fall into feeling like, okay, I'm giving this person this. I'm listening to them. I'm a good listener. And they're not listening to me.
Mm.
So then I shut down. I'm like, okay, you're not listening to me, so I'm just going to go. This is my cue.
Hmm.
Yes. Okay. So the people that fall in love. Okay, tell me if this is you. Now, because now I want to know if this is you.
All right. Okay. I'll see what I tell you. I might plead the fifth.
According to this episode, they say that the people that fall in love with narcissistic people are, one, insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Are you insecure?
I'm not insecure, but I have had insecurities and mind you, this was a while ago. So I've grown from where I was, and there was a period where I was less insecure than I am now. Remember I told you I was a skinny kid and all of this stuff. So those are my insecurities.
Yeah. Okay. It says, or they say that people from happy families can even be attracted to narcissists.
I come from a very happy family. I mean, very happy, very loving. I have never heard anyone in my family yell at each other.
Uh-huh.
Like, everyone talks very calmly. yeah, it just doesn't happen. So, yeah, very loving family.
That was interesting that she said it. The fact that you feel like, or you might feel like love can fix everything. So you're so desperate to just make it work.
Yeah. But like Willow said, you know, I just feel like I can fix whatever it is because I do come from this loving. I remember one situation and this was so horrible. I don't even think this was a narcissist. This was just an abusive situation, but verbal. Mm-hmm. But I remember really thinking in this, oh, I can fix this. Oh, let me show, like I've traveled around the world and my family does this. Like you just need to be exposed. Like once you learn, I've gone away to college and come back. And like, once you learn, your life can be different. No.
It didn't work.
No. Like you cannot fix people. You do have no degree in clinical psychology. Like you're not a therapist. Stop. People need to stop trying to fix people. Yeah. Like, I understand having a heart and having empathy and all of that, but you also have to know your limitations.
Yes.
The people on the plane say when the masks come down, put the mask on yourself first and then tend to everybody else. So until your life is like golden,
yes.
I can't fix anybody. There's nothing I can do. I got to worry about me.
You have to. You really, really have to. Because they might change for a second and then a few weeks go by, a few months go by and they're back to the same old thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about people who give second chances? I can see where a narcissist would fall through the cracks on this one. Because if you keep messing up and I tell you it's okay, like you're just going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Old Tyler used to do second chances. New Tyler does not do second chances.
No.
Like once we go around this merry-go-round once and it doesn't work, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no going back. There's no second chance. I made my decision. But I said what I said. This is done.
The dangerous part about all of this, obviously, is getting out of this type of relationship, which is and can be really scary for some people, life-threatening almost. They mention the fact that you're under so much control that you almost feel scared to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And your finances might also now be intertwined. And we oftentimes judge relationships without knowing that this stuff is going on.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be really careful who you get in a relationship with. You have to be really careful. This is, I don't engage in any dating, hookup, fill in the blank type apps. The only app I'm on it is Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Because I need a face to face. I need to look at you. I need to figure stuff out. Like as you're telling me what you think I need to hear, I need to look in your eyes and see, are you lying? Like, you can't do all of that on an app. So it's like the people that indulge in these apps and these dating sites and all of that, you are inviting people into your life, into your space, and for some into your bodies. And you don't know anything about this person.
Nothing.
This person could be a narcissist. They could be an abusive person. They could be a sex offender. They could be a drug addict. They could have credit up the wazoo. I mean, not credit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Debt up the wazoo. Like, they could have so many things. And you're just so quick to lay down with it. I'm straight on that. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, why dating is so important and taking the time to get to know someone without fully jumping in. Because then you wind up too deep and now you can't find your way out. So that's scary.
Like imagine being with a narcissistic, bipolar, schizophrenic, whatever. Like who?
Oh no.
If I just met you on this app, I have no way to figure all this stuff out in the next 3 hours. Like,
no,
come on.
There's no way.
No.
Absolutely no way. So as far as staying in the relationship, they mentioned getting trapped in chasing the high. It's like an addiction, like a drug. Because if you're nice to me for 2 weeks, you buy me all kinds of gifts, you take me places, you're treating me amazing, and then all of a sudden you switch up and become this other person. Now I'm like, okay, I want the other Tyler back. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I have to do to make him happy again? So then now you're caught in the cycle.
Listen, because I feel like narcissists, they you're never anyone's real first time, like unless you're like truly their first, like you're no one's first time. So they've done this before.
Yeah.
They've actually mastered this. So they know narcissists are master. One thing those three people had in common, they're master manipulators.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they use their forces for good or evil is to be determined. Well, we know one does it for evil, but it's to be determined. So they're able to, they know exactly what to say, how to say to get you trapped, to get you hooked, cut you off, like Jada said, from your, or like the lady said, from your family and your friends, isolate you to the point that you, they are the only person that you still feel connected to. And they're feeding you these lines that, oh, no one's going to love you like I will, or you'll never experience this, something like this again, or something along those lines. Like, all of that is planned out and it's part of the game. Yeah. So it's like, I really do believe once you hear those words, it's like, all right, cool. Like, there should be certain words where you just know what it is. For example, when people say, no, Tyler, I did this, da-da-da-da-da, honest. If they add the word honest or honestly, this is what, it's a lie. It's a lie, because when we talk normally, I don't use that. I don't say, no, honest. This, no, that's a lie.
Yeah.
So I still feel like if somebody says, you'll never you'll never find love like this again, or no one's gonna love you, like, that's one of those words we're like, oh, okay, cool, where's the exit? I need to go. Like, don't argue, don't engage, don't, that's a button pusher. Like, just walk away. That is your cue to leave.
Absolutely. And they mentioned it. It's called the misinterpretation of romance, mm-hmm. and not understanding what is a red flag and what is okay and normal, like the whole no one's gonna love you like I will, or I think they mentioned something about friends and like, maybe those friends aren't, those aren't good friends for you. Trying to push friends away that are good friends.
Yeah.
Those are red flags. Misinterpretation of romance.
They have to have the way to control you is to isolate you. Isolate you from your friends, from your family, take you away from anything that gives you comfort where you might, because in that comfort is where you find strength. So anything to get you out of that so that you don't have that strength, so that you're completely weak and vulnerable and dependent upon them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And before we go on to the news and gossip section of our show, I just wanted to say that I love that they mentioned child abuse and child abuse not being a reason why someone goes on to mentally abuse someone with their narcissism. Because we talked about this before on another show, as far as being raised a certain way. Maybe you weren't raised around a whole lot of Black people or whatever. Now you've grown up to be this person that fears them. At some point, it's not an excuse anymore.
Yeah.
You were abused, sadly, when you were younger. That doesn't mean it's okay to go on and hurt someone else. They didn't abuse you.
Yeah.
I loved when she said that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So true.
Because you cannot, that's not an excuse for you then to abuse someone else. So, and in the last episode, I remember telling the people, get over it. There's a time frame or whatever. And I didn't say what that time frame is, because there really isn't one. But in my mind, like, once you get in your 30s, you can no longer, I mean, really, once we get past 25, but I'll give you an extra 5 years. Once you get to 30, you can no longer talk about, oh, well, this happened to me in my childhood, and that's why I do fill in the blank. No, you are a grown ass person. Like, you can't, you just can't.
Yeah.
You can't. Those excuses are not, nah.
No, they get real old real quick. So now on to our Mr. and Mrs. Smith segment with the one and only Tyler Tyson.
Yay. All right. And we still got the Willow theme song right here. This song right here is called Wait a Minute. I am Tyler Tyson, and this is your Mr. and Mrs. Smith news update. So we're going to jump right into the news. We're going to start off with the younger Smiths, going straight to Jaden's page. Jaden posted this picture right here where he's performing in Tokyo, I believe. I know he's in Asia somewhere. I believe it was Tokyo. He's getting ready for his tour with his sister that kicks off in November. I think November 12th in San Diego. The next picture, you will see that there are your tour dates. I believe November 12th is when it starts. The Willow airs. Did we say that it's pronounced airs?
I think we, that's what we,
I think that's what we agreed on. If it's not, listen, forgive me. But anyway, the tour starts November 12th in San Diego. You can go to willowsmith.com or go to Jaden's page, either one of their Instagrams for the link. Also, for Throwback Thursday, Willow posted this picture of her, a little Willow way back in the day. This is before Whip My Hair. This is probably, what's the movie she was in with Will? Was it I Am Legend?
Yeah,
I think this this is probably I Am Legend days.
Oh,
she was
so cute.
Absolutely adorable. Moving on from that, so Gammy, you guys know, last weekend she just celebrated her 66th birthday. Well, she posted this picture today and she said, hey y'all, it's Monday, let's get in this gym. So we know part of the secret to looking this great at 66 is you just gotta suck it up and go to the gym. We may not like it. In fact, some of us may low-key hate it. You find you some music to get you through, and listen, we can look like that at 66. Those are goals.
She looks amazing.
Those are goals.
Oh my God.
And then Jada, she hasn't been posting anything personal. Most of the things have been about the Red Table Talk. She did take a time to post this funny video. Y'all take a look.
What's my secret? What's my secret? A seahorse gave me this. My secret is gathered from the whispers of a babbling brook. Secret. Why am I showering outside? I don't do it for the trend. I don't do it because it's cool. My secret. I do it because it's life. This line is a placeholder. Sip my secret, then sip it again. This shot is too close. This one is too far. There's my booty. Who's playing the violin? My neck. Here's me on my back. Oh. Just water.
Oh my God.
That video was hilarious. So for those of you that don't know, Just Water is Jaden's water company. Obviously, you can purchase it at CVS. And she, the caption on this video said, Jaden, the first video is free. The next one you will have to pay for. But she was basically just supporting her kid, which I thought was funny and dope all at the same time.
God.
So from one of the Elder Smiths to the other, y'all know Will Smith always has something funny going on his Instagram page. And we talk a lot about social media here on this show. So I thought this video was perfect to play for y'all. Take a look.
Y'all, we out here on vacation in the Bahamas. Another beautiful day. Check it out. Check it out. Boom. I want to talk to y'all for a minute about the power of perception. You see, there's a lot that goes in to being a hot social media content provider. For instance, y'all think I got time to go on vacation? No, I got social to do. Come on, man, this is blue screen. In fact, I'm gonna keep it 100 with y'all. I haven't looked like this good in years. I've been totally computer generated since like the 90s.
You know what?
This ain't even real blue screen.
Oh my.
It's 2019, y'all. Nothing's real.
I have no words.
That's part of what I was saying earlier. Everything is so staged and produced on social media. Okay, so the next video we'll post it. Just another funny video from the one and only Will Smith. Y'all take a look.
Ooh. Hit it.
Wait for it.
Oh.
I mean, this is why I say you just need a whole team. Like, if I could have a team of editors and producers to really help me with my social media, it would be popping like Will Smith, too. And the final video, I want to know, what would you all do if Will Smith just randomly walked into your hotel room? Take a look.
Niente, ragazzi, sono appena tornati dal party di compleanno di Will Smith. C'era la piazza piena di Budapest che gli faceva happy birthday. È stata una roba incredibile. Ed è successa appena...
Hey!
Oh my God.
This is my room.
That was Mia.
Non so come sia possibile, ma c'è qui Smith dentro la mia stanza.
You've been here for like 45 minutes, dude. I'm just gonna brush my teeth.
Like, what would you do?
Faint.
Like, he's scared to move.
To use it?
No, if you want to. Because only one toothbrush, so if you wanted to use it, you could.
Use it.
Alright.
Thank you.
He's freaking out that he's brushing his teeth with Will Smith's toothbrush. So I am Tyler Tyson with your Mr. and Mrs. Smith news update. What would you do if that was, like, if Will gave you his toothbrush? One, would you brush your teeth with his toothbrush?
Absolutely.
Oh.
And then I start crying because I'm just overjoyed.
Okay. I can't say that I would brush my teeth with his toothbrush, but boom. There you go.
You know, in the moment, you just do crazy things sometimes.
Listen.
Hey. Hey, man. Well, that was a great show.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you. I try to find the good content. I love some news and gossip. So.
Yes, me too. So, that's the end of our show, but we will be back next Monday, same time, same place. In the meantime, you can follow me on Instagram at Miss Tyler Simone. And where can they find you?
You can get your entire life following me on all social media at The Tyler Tyson. Also, make sure you tune in on Tuesday nights on AfterBuzz TV for the New Amsterdam after show at 10 p.m.
Yes. We'll see you next week. We'll miss you. Bye.
Peace.
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.